Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com.
Never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.
OJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. Good morning, and welcome to FOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Good morning, and welcome to the March 15th. 2015 edition of FOJC Radio Church. I am David Carey Cohen. For the next hour, we are going to be studying the Word of God. Our lesson this morning is on the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. This is not just a fundamental lesson. This is an essential lesson. If you get this wrong, you're going to be lost. So this is of the utmost importance. And I want to give a shout out this morning to my nephew, Kevin, who has been following us on YouTube. We are so glad to have Brother Kevin on board. God bless you, Brother Kevin. And we are glad to have each and every one of you on board this morning on FOJC Radio Church. Here we are at the Ides of March in the Shemitah year, standing strong for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine of Christ. And as we do, we're going to prepare our hearts this morning to receive the Word with a time of worship. And after that, we will be back with our lesson, The Fruit of the Spirit.
Think how Jesus died and for my sin was crucified. Oh, in love such as this, I just can't comprehend. Then I think how He must feel to have suffered through that ordeal. Yet His love has been rejected by so many through the years. I wonder if He ever cries. when he thinks of how he bled and died. Does the memory remain? Can he still feel the pain of sin and shame he bore for me? And every time he sees his scars, does it bring a tear into his eyes? When many never serve him, not caring how he loves them, I wonder, does it make him cry?
We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we break the bread of life, and pray with me, if you will. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to gather again one more time to lift up your holy name, preach your word, and encourage the saints. Father, I pray that you give each and every one this morning what they need from the Holy Ghost of heaven to strengthen them in the fight, to help them to be strong and to stand for you. And Lord, I just humbly ask this morning that you help Donna to keep everything running smoothly, and that you help me anoint my lips and my mind this morning to bring forth your word in clarity and truth. And we give you the praise for everything good that happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to begin in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Our lesson this morning is on the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to read in our text the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, because we have to understand the contrast. There are two ways here that are contrasted: the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. One leads to hell and damnation, the other leads to eternal life. And there's no mixing the two. The fountain will either bring forth sweet water or bitter. It cannot bring forth both at the same time. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. That means that the works of the flesh will show themselves openly in a person's life. They will be visible and identifiable. There are some sins that are more visible than others, but these things will manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Which means that this is not an exhaustive list. There are other things. Some people would say, well, he didn't say anything about homosexuality. Well, it says, and such like. All of these works of the flesh, or any such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If these works of the flesh are in your life, and you do not repent and take them to the cross to remove them, you'll be lost. And be not deceived. You know, this is the clear statement of Scripture. Now, beginning in verse 22, but, which shows the contrast, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no law of God against those that manifest the fruit of the Spirit, because love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, a couple of things I want you to note here, initially, about the fruit of the Spirit, that it is the fruit of the Spirit. When we talk about these qualities, we're not talking about anything that you can gin up out of your natural man through any kind of self-control or any kind of other schemes. This is the fruit of the Spirit, and these can only be manifested by the Holy Ghost flowing through our hearts. Now, also here, I want you to note that it is the fruit singular. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And these fruits are like a cluster of grapes that all flow from the same source, and that source is love. But the fruit singular of the Spirit is love. Now, I want to tell on the devil this morning. I want us to read in Ephesians 6 and 11. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, the Scripture says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, that word wiles, it's number 3180 in the Strong's, and it means to be crafty, to be tricky. You know, he is a very tricky, crafty little devil, that is for sure. And I'm going to tell on the devil this morning. I'm going to show you just exactly what he has done and what we can do to avoid his snares. Now, Satan is not stupid, and he knows that all of these fruits hinge on love, and that if he can pervert love, that he can destroy the character of Christians, and not only destroy their character, but set them on a course for hell instead of heaven. And also, as we progress in our lesson, we're going to see that all true Christian works that build the kingdom of God are based on and motivated by love. So Satan understands that if he can pervert love, that people will build his kingdom while they're thinking they're building the kingdom of God. And this is very much in line with the lesson that we've had the past 2 weeks on the image of the beast. And this is how Satan is tricking people into building the image of the beast while they think they're building the kingdom of God. Now, love is so important that the Apostle Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could not remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Now, the Bible didn't say love there, did it? It said charity. Now, I'm going to tell on the devil this morning, and I'm going to show you just exactly what he has done. I have a lot to say about apostate translations, and I say this on a regular basis because it's hard to say too much about it because of the destruction that they have wrecked on the church. They have indeed turned it from the kingdom of God into the image of the beast. Now, I'm going to read from a book written by a man by the name of Dean Burgon. And I have recommended the society that's after his name, the Dean Burgon Society. This is one of the very few ministries on earth that I could recommend, but I recommend their work on the received text in the highest way. Now, in the 1880s, when the Westcott and Hort were striving to bring in and establish their apostate text, their number one opponent was one of the greatest Greek scholars of all time, by the name of Dean Burgon. And in our library, I have four large volumes by Dean Burgon in our library. Really, really good stuff. And I want to read something from the Revision Revised by Dean Burgon. And I don't know whether he would have considered himself a prophet, but he certainly spoke prophetically many times. And this is one. This is from page 201 of Revision Revised. This is what Dean Burgon said. What else but a real calamity would be the sentence of perpetual banishment passed by our revisionist on that most excellent gift, the gift of charity, and the general substitution of love in its place? Do not these learned men perceive that love is not an equivalent term? In consequence, it has come to pass that the word charity connotes many ideas to which the word love is an entire stranger. That love, on the contrary, has come to connote many unworthy notions which in charity find no place at all. And Dean Burgon prophesied that if the revisionist got away with replacing charity with love, that there would be a great calamity. And let me tell you, that calamity is here. It's in our face. Now, the word agape is sometimes translated as love in the New Testament, and this is proper. It's not wrong to say that agape is love, but in the King James Bible, agape love is defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And there is no word in the English language that better portrays what agape love is than charity. If you give someone charity, you give them something they don't deserve. We all know this instantly. But when you say love, and you take charity out as a defining aspect of agape love, this, like Burgon said, this just opens it up to anything and everything. Burgon prophesied a calamity. That calamity has come. And I'll just give a couple examples, which are just all too obvious. Joel Osteen, who has the largest church in America, he just wants to show love to people and not to talk about anything that's unpleasant or that will offend. Joseph Prince is leading what he calls the Grace Revolution. And he says that God loves us so much that we don't even have to confess our sins and to ask forgiveness for our sins. And this is not the Grace Revolution, this is the Sin Revolution. And I want to tell on the devil this morning. I want us to see clearly just exactly what he has done. I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to begin with verse 2. And the Apostle Paul said, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." This goes right along with what we've been teaching about the bride of Christ, doesn't it? In verse 3, he says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And this is what Satan has done. He has brought in another Bible that teaches another kind of love, that gives us another Jesus and another gospel and another spirit. And this is causing these people, motivated by this spirit, to build the kingdom of Satan upon earth and not the kingdom of God. They are literally building the image of the beast while they think they are building the kingdom of God. Indeed, Virgon prophesied a calamity, and indeed, that calamity is here staring us in the face. Now, these are a few things that true love will do. And I am going to get into some very specific scenarios this morning that are going to be facing us in the near future. These are going to be life and death decisions that if we've just got to get them right. And the only way we're going to get these right is to have the love of God flowing in our hearts. Now, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, there's a movement, another movement underway, and a lot of these people are associated with the Kufi movement, Christians United for Israel. And I'm not an anti-Semitic person. People that listen to me know that. But there's a move abroad, and many of these people, or at least some of them, some of the biggest voices in that movement say, "God did not call me to share the gospel with the Jew. He called me to be their friend." No, he did not. The greatest expression of love that we can show to someone is to share with them the gospel that will give them eternal life. Love will motivate us to share the gospel against whatever persecution it will bring. And the reason why people will shun to preach the gospel is because they do not want to bear the offense of the cross in many instances. Now, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, this is another thing that true love will do. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And true love will seek to restore a brother. True love will not turn its head and watch a brother continue on the path of damnation without trying to rescue him or her. True love will confront to try to rescue. And also, true love will preach against sin. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 27. And this is so prevalent today in the user-friendly church. If you have love, you won't offend people. And that is such a lie of the devil. If you have agape, charity, love, you will preach against sin because you do love those people and you want to give them something that they don't deserve. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And that is truly my heart's desire, is to declare all the counsel of God without shunning anything that is profitable or needful of the saints of God to hear. In verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. And that's why these people do what they do. The wolves are here, and the wolves do what they do to get a following. And the people in America today that have the biggest following, they're the wolves. And don't be mistaken just because the wolf is smiling like a possum. Because you know why the possum is smiling, don't you? And these two men that I mentioned, they are just two of many I could mention. They're two of the most obvious. I could talk about Rick Warren, who is bringing in Chrislam, a so-called mixture of Islam and Christianity, which is just an outright impossibility. But these men are leading the way with a false kind of love. And all of this has come about because of what happened when Westcott and Hort brought their text in. Because in 1 Corinthians 13, this is the definitive definition of love, and that has been stripped from the minds of the apostate church by these false Bibles and false preachers. And without the true love of God, we are not only going to be lost, but you're going to have people building the kingdom of Satan while they think they're building the kingdom of God. Now, let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26. Now, in every week, we get phone calls and emails from people literally all over the world. And just this week, I dealt with two individuals on the issue of the King James Bible. One person turned the right way, one person turned the wrong way. It's such a classic example. And both came to me with the same lie. The same lie was presented to me that Francis Bacon was the editor of the King James Bible. Now, I want to read Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26. And this is the way love will cause us to work with one another, to do the labor of love that brings forth the true kingdom of God. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now that word vain glory really catches my eye because this fits one of these individuals very well. And according to Fung, this means the idea of talking big. F.F. Bruce says that this means to boast when there is nothing to boast about, to be a big talker, to be a boaster. And one of these individuals told me that he mentioned in I had probably two or three different phone conversations and some emails with this person. I did my best to work with the person and to inform them. And repeatedly, this person would tell me about their PhDs and how studied they were, how much they knew, how much they loved truth. And when I told this individual that Francis Bacon, it's not, well, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, it's a verifiable fact. The names of everyone that touched the King James translation is a matter of public record. There are 55 men, you can have all of their names. It's not a matter of maybe he might have been. No, he was not. This is a verifiable fact. And this person told me that, you know, you and I can disagree here. I'm a seeker of truth. You're a seeker of truth. We can still work together. And I said, I'm sorry, sir. No, we cannot. You attack the Word of God. I defend it. You and I cannot walk together. Now, I had enough love to take the time to share the truth with this man, and I had enough love for God to separate from him, and I had enough love for the ministry not to waste any more time with him. And I told him, you are not a seeker of truth when you will not check the facts. A seeker of truth will check the facts, and when a person has the facts, they won't repeat lies. Now, another man came to me this week with the same story. Oh, did you know Francis Bacon was the editor of the King James Bible? I shared the same truth with this man. This man said, thank you for saving me from repeating this error. The person thanked me. One person went the wrong way, one person went the right way. And that's the way it's going to be. But when you hear somebody that's full of vainglory, they want to tell you how much they know, and it was obvious in a five-minute conversation with this individual, he did not know enough about the text and transmission of the New Testament text to even have an intelligent conversation about it. But people are deceived, and they want what a person knows or does not know is not necessarily a shame unto them. But it is a shame when that person tries to make other people think they're big shots that know it all. Oh, look at me. Look at what I know. That is vainglory. It's not just wrong. It's a sin. Now, let's read Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 2. And then we're going to get into some very, very specific scenarios that are going to be facing us in the very near future that could result and will result in life or death decisions. Now, in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2, boy, I love the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs, you just need to read it and read it and memorize verses. It's so good. But Proverbs 27 and 2 says, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. And when you hear this out of a person, oh, I know so much and all this, and you know how it goes. You better watch out, because each and every time there's a wrong spirit driving that. Now, we're going to take our break this morning, and when we come back, we are going to get into some nut and bolt scenarios that are going to be life and death questions that we're going to be facing in the very near future. And without love flowing in our hearts, we are not going to be able to get them right. And we're going to see the utmost necessity that the fruit of the Spirit will play in our life. We'll be right back, right after this break.
James 3:18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You're listening to FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. Thank you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
You're listening to the all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network.
the church become a business, and the calling on our lives become a job? When did the Lord become our servant, rather than us giving service to our God? When did our words become so empty? It must have been when our opinions took his place. When did our prayers become so selfish? When it became only for our own gain, we chose to seek his face. And you can say what you want to, but it's better to give than to receive. Our self-centered lip service won't do a thing for their unbelief. Go on and preach prosperity, but you're missing the point, my brother. The gospel is not financial gain, but it's meant to be shared for free with one another and free for all the world. Jesus is free for all the world. When did our pockets make the difference? And the pockets in the front pew make the team? When did we first become so prideful? Oh, I'm just a man, so please don't idolize me. When did the devil take his seat in the congregation? When we lifted holy hands as to catch our brother's eye? Why has the church been starving so long? We're scratching itching ears, and our focus is on the tithe. And you can say what you want to, but it's better to give than to receive. Our self-centered lip service won't do a thing for their unbelief. To go on and preach prosperity, but you're missing the point, my brother. Gospel is not financial gain, but it's meant to be shared for free with one another and free for all the world. Jesus is free for all the world. and fit for the master's use. In a great house, there are vessels of gold and silver, vessels of wood and earth, some of shame and some of worth. We are God's dwelling place, and there are useful things in us. But if they cannot be tried with fire, then they should only turn to dust. We need a purging that only God can do. These lumps are filled with leaven, and they need to be made new. We need to be purified and holy, sanctified and true. Set apart for the master's will and fit for the master's use. We need a purging that only God can do. These lumps are filled with leaven, and they need to be made new. We need to be purified and holy, sanctified and true. Set apart for the master's will and fit for the master's use. The time is yet appointed, and some will be made white. But which ones will it be? Those very few that have been tried. We are earthen vessels, with treasure deep inside. Will our treasure turn to dust or purge and purify? We need a purging that only God can do. These lumps are filled with leaven, and they need to be made new. We need to be purified and holy, sanctified and true. Set apart for the master's will and fit for the master's use.